Welcome to Torati Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Sara Malka Reichman. Today we'll be learning the final parak of Shmuel Aleph, Parak Lamed Aleph, which opens up, returning us back to our topic of the war that the Plishtim is waging with Am Yisrael. And since the pasuk says, "Uplishtim nelchamim b'Yisrael," rather "Vayilachamu plishtim b'Yisrael," Rashi tells us that this is as if someone is saying, we are continuing now with the war. We're getting back to our previous topic. And we hear that Am Yisrael's army runs away from the Plishtim and their dead fall in Har Gilboa. Vayanusu anshei Yisrael mepnei Plishtim vayiplu chalalim behar ha-Gilboa. In Pasuk Bet, they finally catch up with Shaul. Vayad biku Plishtim et Shaul ve'et banav. But it does not say Vayasigu, and so the Malbim explains that Shaul put up quite the fight, so initially they did not actually catch him, until we hear Vayaku plishtim et Yonatan ve'et Avinadav et Malkishua b'nei Shaul. Three of Shaul's sons are killed. These were the ones who would go out and fight wars with him. Ishbosheth was at home. The war intensifies. In Pasuk Gimel, Vatichbara melchama el Shaul vayimtza'uhu hamorim anashim bakashet. The people who would fight with bows and arrows found him, and Shaul was very scared by Yachel Ma'od Mehamorim. And now Shaul turns and gives very difficult instructions to his Nosei Kelim, to his servant. Vayomar Shaul Nosei Chelav, Shlof Charbecha V'dakrini Va. Draw your sword and stab me with it. Pen yavo'u ha'arelim ha'ila, udzikaruni v'tahalelu vi. Lest these arelim come and stab me and taunt me. And we hear that the Nosei Kelim did not want to fulfill Shaul's request. Ki yare me'od. He is very scared to kill the Melech Yisrael. And so Shaul takes his sword and falls upon it, taking his own life. This, of course, is a very complicated issue. There are many complex halachic discussions that stem from this event with Shaul. Everything we will be saying is in the realm of parshanut, trying to explain what happened here and not for any practical halachic ramifications. The Ralbag points out that Shaul thought that they would kill him in a very achsari, a cruel way. The Radak learns from the word udzikaruni that Shaul felt that they would stab him multiple times and taunt him. And the Malbim explains Shaul's thinking and says that Shaul thought, okay, if they only taunt me, so I will live a life of tsar, but it's better than death. Or if they will just kill me, at least I will not harm myself. But Shaul was certain that that would not happen, and that instead they would taunt him and give him a cruel death. Bereshit Rabbah, commenting on the pasuk in Bereshit Perek Tet, from which Chazal learned that a person may not take his own life, Va'ach et damchem l'nafsho techem edrosh, asks the question, Yachol Kishaul, could this include Shaul? And answers Talmud Lomar, Ach. From the word Ach, we often learn that it excludes certain situations. It excludes the situation of Shaul. Well, what was characteristic of Shaul's situation? What was unique about it? The Ramban in Torat HaAdam says that in a situation where a person took his own life deliberately, Mipnei HaOnes, because he was forced to, Maspidinoto, we do eulogize him, Kigon Shaul Melch Yisrael. Like, for example, Shaul, the king of Yisrael, who took his own life, but it was mutarlo, it was permissible for him. And he quotes this medrash, Yachol afilu nirdaf kishaul, tamad lomar ach. I don't know whether he added the word or if he had a different girsa, but he adds the word nirdaf. Could this include someone who was being chased, who was about to be killed by a pursuer? And so, according to the Ramban, someone who is forced to take his own life because he is being pursued, and I guess at the point where he knows that he's definitely going to be killed, Therefore, he is eulogized. It is not considered that he transgressed this avera of taking one's life under normal circumstances. The Gemara in Sota Yud tells us that there were five people who were created with a supernatural advantage, and each one of them met their downfall as a result of this supernatural advantage. Tana Rabbanan Chamisha Nevru Me'in Dugma Shalmala V'chulan Laku Bahen. And Rashi explains, Dugma Shalmala Nishtanu Min HaTachtonin L'Tiferet. They were different from the rest of us down here on earth in some beneficial, glorious way. Shaul B'Tzavaro. Shaul's advantage was in his neck, as we are told. Vayigba Mikol Ha'am Mishechmo V'Mala. He was taller and greater than all the nation, from shoulder and up. And eventually it says, Vaykach Shaul et acherev vayipol aleha. Shaul falls on the cherev, and Rashi explains that when he falls on it, he falls on it on his neck, because that is the place that people kill people with swords. Makom shehorgin becherev, v'hainu tzavar. Perhaps this means that when people are created with an advantage, as Shaul was in so many ways, the standards and expectations are far greater. And if they don't live up to those expectations, then those very expectations and that very advantage becomes their downfall. In Pasuk Hey, we hear that Shaul's Nosei Kelim sees that Shaul is dead, and so he falls upon his own sword and he dies, and now Shaul, his three sons, and his Nosei Kelim are not alive. And when Am Yisrael, who are Be'ever Ha'emek, across the Emek, which is Emek Yisrael, Be'ever HaYarden, sees that the Am Yisrael who were battling the Plishtim ran away, they leave their cities and run away, and Plishtim come and re-inhabit those very cities that they had taken back from the Plishtim. The next day, the Plishtim come in order to strip the dead of everything and take their booty, and they find Shaul and his three sons fallen at Har Gilboa. They cut Shaul's head off, and they strip him of his kelim, perhaps his weapons, and they send all of his kelim all around the lands of the Plishtim, to let everybody know what happened to all of their houses of worship. Finally, they put the kelim in the Beit Ashtarot, a house of, where they worship the Ashtarot. Divrei Hayamim tells us that the head was brought to the place where they worship Dagon, at the Beit Dagon. And we hear, Ve'etz Gviyato Taku B'Chomat Beit Shan. They nailed his body to the Chomat Beit Shan, as well as his son's bodies. When the people of Yavesh Gilad hear about this, they will not tolerate such a disgrace. Yud bet vayakumu kol ish chayel vayelchu kol halayla v'kchut gviyat Shaul v'tgviyot banav mechomat Beit Shan. Every strong fighter gets up. They travel through the night. They remove Shaul and his son's bodies from the wall at Beit Shan, and vayisrafu otam sham. Either they burned the flesh because it was already full of worms and maggots, and they did not want to bury them this way, or they simply burn all their belongings, since the halacha is sorfin al hamalachim. We burn a Jewish king's belongings so that they are not used by anyone afterwards in order to give him honor. And in Pasuk Yud Gimel, we hear, b'kchu et atzmoteihem v'yikberu tachat ha'esh al b'yavesha. They bury them in Yavesha, and v'yatzumu shivat yamim. They fast for 7 days. These are the people of Yavesh Gilad who go to take care of Shaul and his sons. And the Mefarshim point out, v'yatzumu shivat yamim, actually, the Medrash tells us that they fasted 7 days, because if we recall, when Nachash HaAmoni came threatening their lives, he gave them an ultimatum and he gave them 7 days, these people of Yavesh Gilad. And then Shaul heroically came to their rescue, and in appreciation for those 7 days during which Shaul came and rescued them, now they go, they honor or remove disgrace from the bodies of Shaul and his sons, bury them, and they fast for 7 days. And this is the end of the life of a very great and greatly complex figure, Shaul HaMelech. It has been an absolute pleasure learning together with all of you. And tomorrow, I take the seat along with you in the classroom and get to enjoy learning the rest of Nach Yomi. May we hear lots of besurot tovot for Am Yisrael. Thank you for learning together. Li'iloi nishmat, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef.